This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. For 50 years now, Houston Wood State Park has celebrated the craft and history of maple syrup production in Ohio with its annual Maple Syrup Festival. This year's event runs March 5th, 6th, 12th, and 13th at the park, located near College Corner. And here to tell us about the festival and what it takes to make maple syrup are Perry Gordon and Sean Connor with the Ohio Department of Natural Resources at Houston Woods. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Perry and Sean, good afternoon. Good to see both of you.
Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Perry, that's amazing. 50 years, and this festival is still going strong. What makes Houston Woods a good setting for this?
It's a great natural setting. The area where the sugar camp is, the sugar house, and the tree stand of sugar maples are in a natural area. It's about 200 acres of virgin forest. It's been here for over 200 years.
So, Sean, any idea how many maple trees are in Houston Woods?
Oh, all in all, I couldn't say for sure. For the sake of the festival, we tap about 120 trees.
Mm-hmm. So you've got to at least have hundreds and hundreds of maple trees in Houston Woods. Any idea of how much maple syrup gets produced in our area?
In the state of Ohio is usually ranked fourth or fifth in the nation in terms of production. Obviously, we're up there with some of the New England states and Quebec province. I'm not sure the total number, but it contributes over $5 million to the state economy. So it is
that much.
It's a big business at this time of the year.
Now, how popular has this festival become?
We usually get a good crowd. It's kind of weather dependent because we do it on two weekends. A lot of people just kind of pick the best weather weekend this time of year. But usually if we have a good weather, we expect about neighborhood of about 700 people a day.
700 people. So you've got several thousand people who will pass through over during the 4 days that the event runs.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, how far back, Perry, does maple syrup production go in Ohio?
Maple syrup production goes back into the 19th century. I think the early settlers in this area learned some of the techniques from the native tribes that were here. Obviously, it would not have been as sophisticated a process as far as using evaporator pans or any kind of high tech. But even the natives knew that to make any kind of syrup or sugary product, you needed to eliminate the water and retain the sugar. In this area, in 1840, Ohio was the largest maple-producing state, and it's developed since then. Obviously, the techniques have come a long way since wooden buckets hanging on the trees. There's more technology with connecting hoses from the trees that go directly into the sugar house or into larger evaporating systems, because the basic principle remains the same over the centuries: eliminate most of the water and keep the sugar. We're going from about a 2% sugar solution in the sap to the finished product about 68% sugar solids.
Now, is there a certain type of maple tree that you use for this? Like if I have a red maple, will
sure.
that work?
Yeah, a lot of different maple trees will be able to be used. In fact, you could make syrup out of a lot of different types of trees in general. Most people like the flavor of maple syrup better than the syrup from other trees. And we often use sugar maples the most because you're actually starting with the highest sugar content. Even though Perry said it's only 2 to 2.5%, that's actually higher than any other tree starts with.
So let's talk about the process. You tap the tree. Now, what does it mean to tap the tree?
It's a really relatively simple process. All we really do is drill into the tree right underneath the bark. We don't really have to go in more than about an inch and a half. And you go at a little bit of an upward angle, and then you tap in what's called a spile, which is just the spout that goes in. That just channels all that sap into one location, and we hang a bucket and collect it.
Now, has the vessels for collecting the syrup, has that changed over the years?
Absolutely. The earliest collection buckets, and you'll see this if you hike the trail down to the sugar bush, we have wooden buckets on some of the trees, and obviously more modern galvanized metal buckets are hanging on the trees. We also have sap collection bags, which are basically just very large plastic bags that can hold a gallon of the sap. It's easier to clean. clean them, easier to store them. So the technology has developed pretty quickly. And I mentioned before about the connecting hoses where we can tap right onto the trees, and that way we don't have to keep walking back and forth to the trees. They just go into a network of hoses, and that could into a central line, and that can be brought down to where the sap is evaporated.
Now, once you tap the tree, how long does it take to get enough syrup out of it to actually start cooking?
Yeah, it's really weather dependent. Ideally, to have a good flow of sap, you need temperatures below freezing at night. And then, you know, above freezing, usually high 30s, maybe lower 40s during the day. And if you can get that differential in temperature, you can get a pretty good flow. For us, you know, we use mostly buckets. We'll use buckets that are about 2.5 gallons. And if we have good weather conditions, we can fill that bucket in a couple of days.
Now, how much sap does it take to produce a gallon of syrup?
The rule of thumb is about 40 gallons to produce a gallon of syrup. now, in a good year, if you get a healthy tree that's approximately 40 years old, you can get about 10 gallons of sap out of that, or 40 quarts. And that's eventually that's going to boil down to 1 quart of syrup. So it's in that way, it's a very labor-intensive process. You're going to have somebody there to collect all of that sap, and it's going to be time-consuming to boil all that sap down to get the final product.
So how long does it take to get enough sap?
Again, really weather-dependent, yeah. But typically the season for sap collection will last about 4 to 6 weeks, because that's really about as long as you're going to get those freezing nights and warm days. So usually, you know, depending on where people are at in the country, it'll start tapping anywhere from, you know, January through up until, you know, sometime in March.
So we're headed into the perfect time of year then.
Absolutely.
This is maple syrup production.
A day like today where it's starting to get cold. It's probably going to drop below freezing tonight. And if it warms up tomorrow, that'll keep the sap flowing.
Has the kind of odd weather we've had the last few years, has that had any effect on maple syrup production?
It can. You know, certainly if we don't have that good temperature differential, if it just goes from cold and suddenly warms up, then you don't get a lot of flow, which we're kind of worried about this year because it warmed up real fast. But I think we've actually kind of fallen back into a good temperature. You know, other things that will affect it would be moisture from the year before. That kind of affects how much sugar you're going to have in the sap. But typically, yeah, with this kind of weather that we're having right now, I think we'll get a pretty good collection.
Now, the way you cook the sap to turn it into syrup, what's that whole process, Perry?
We have an evaporator pan at the Houston Wood Sugar House. It's about a 12-foot by 3-foot pan, and we heat it with wood for the fire. So, I mean, obviously, it would be more efficient if we had, say, gas or electric. But so we're using a sort of an old-fashioned, early 20th century design, and we're gonna cook the sap probably 8 to 10, maybe 12 hours. And as it heats up and it comes to a boil, and it's going to boil at about 219 degrees Fahrenheit above the boiling point of water. As that evaporates and the water leaves in the form of steam, it's going to become a denser fluid because there's more sugar and less water in it as it keeps boiling. As we keep and it'll keep moving through the evaporator pan channels, becoming denser and denser until we get down to the final product.
How much has it changed over the years? I mean, I guess the Native Americans were doing it differently, and then the pioneers had their own method, and compared to how we do it today, I mean, how much has it changed?
Yeah, and that's something we try to show a little bit during the festival as well. So the idea stays the same. You just want to boil the water off and condense it to that sugar. But so Native Americans, you know, they would have had to cook it in a mokuk or something like that, which is just a wooden wooden device or wooden vessel for cooking in. Settlers would have probably used a large kettle, a big pot, and cooked it in that. You know, we tend to use the evaporator pans, and a lot of places do that right now because it's a little bit – you can do larger quantities. You can do a little bit more of a continuous run. And then some of the larger facilities that are doing this commercially, you know, they'll also use reverse osmosis to pull out some of the water before they even start cooking. But the principle is the same. It's just trying to get that water out as quickly as possible, really.
So what's the legal standard for calling the final product pure maple syrup?
There's a couple standards. One is it needs to have a consistent clarity so that you're taking any imperfections out of it.
Sounds like you're talking about wine.
In a way, it is. We're harvesting the trees at a peak time of year before the buds on the trees come out, and it changes the flavor in the sap. It'll have a specific weight to it, and we can measure that at about 11 pounds per gallon, as opposed, say, to water, which is 8 pounds per gallon. So we can use that as a measurement. We can measure the density of it using a hydrometer that measures the amount of soluble solids in it, that is the sugar content. Again, that's 68%. Anything, if it gets a higher level than 68%, then we're talking more of a different maple product, going toward, say, solid maple candy. So I think between the weight, the boiling temperature, as I said, is 219 degrees Fahrenheit, that will give us our legal standards.
Is there a big difference in how what you're making at the festival tastes from what you get on the store shelves?
Yeah, I mean, most of what you're buying in stores as syrup isn't maple syrup. And you'll notice if you read those bottles, it doesn't say maple syrup. It'll say maple-flavored syrup.
Or pancake syrup.
Most of the syrups that you're buying in stores are corn syrup that's just maple-flavored. Most stores are going to have some real maple syrup. That's the stuff they keep on the top shelf that's a lot more expensive. A lot different than what we typically think of as, pancake syrup.
Are people surprised by the difference in taste?
I think a lot of them are, because it does have a distinct flavor to it. And again, depending on how much of the sugars, how quickly or slowly the sugars have been cooked, whether you get you might have a smoky flavor one year and a little bit. I've tasted caramel and chocolate flavor in some of the syrups that we've cooked. But obviously, there's an interest in moving away from artificial sweeteners and preservatives, and in that respect, the maple syrup that we're making, that's being made on other private family farms in Ohio and in New England, it's a great alternative to those artificial sweeteners.
Yeah, for it to be maple syrup, nothing is added to it. The only thing you're doing is removing the water, just boiling it down.
And Perry, you were saying it's a $5 million industry. Any idea how many people are employed?
I'm not sure, but there's probably over nine. I think there's about 900 maple producers in Ohio through the Ohio Maple Producers Association. So there's even a professional cooperative, if you will, that tracks this information, that obviously is promoting their product as part of the local economies, both in this area and throughout the state.
So getting back to the festival, what will people be able to do at the festival?
Yeah, so there's a few things going on. The main part of it is our maple syrup tours. So we have people meet at an area in the park called the Pioneer Farm. That is an area that is the house there was built in the early 1800s. They have antique farm equipment, so those are things people can look at before we take the tours. From there, we'll actually take a hayride into the sugar bush. If people choose, and most people do, you can then climb off the hayride. We'll hike down the trail where we have all the trees tapped. You can see everything from the sap coming out of the tree. You can taste it coming right out of the tree. We'll talk a lot about the history of maple syrup production on that tour, the history of the area, the ecology of the area. Like Perry mentioned, it's actually it's a mature forest. It's never been cut down. And then as we do that, we make our way down to the sugar house or sugar shack. And there you can actually see the sap boiling in the pans and as we're trying to make syrup.
Now, will people be able to buy the syrup that's made at the festival?
Yeah. Right. The stuff that we don't really make much at the festival. We're mostly doing it for demonstration. But we do have syrup for sale. It's made just outside the park by a family that makes it commercially. That will be sold, all day during the festival.
And let's talk with Evelyn. Hi, Evelyn. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you. I was wondering, I love maple syrup and Houston Woods. I'm from New England, and I did get Deer tick Lyme. I got Lyme disease. It has spread terribly into Ohio, and these tiny little nymphs are active now. They're starting to crawl up people's legs, and I was wondering whether you protect your workers and give them information about Lyme disease prevention.
Certainly. I mean, yeah, anyone in the park, I mean, I think Lyme disease is something that everyone's, you know, we know that we have to check ourselves. It's not something we have a lot of problems with, but I certainly, you know, maybe a couple times a year have found a tick on myself. But, you know, one of the good things about the area that we do this festival in is because it's a mature forest, we don't have the amount of brush. It's a very open forest. You can stand on the trail and you can actually see for about 70 yards in any direction. We don't have honeysuckle and other brush growing there. So there's, well, you certainly always want to, anytime you're in the woods or outside, you want to, you know, maybe check yourselves when you get home. It's not a real big concern for the area that we're going to be in.
And Perry, again, the dates and the hours for the festival?
This coming Saturday and Sunday, and next Saturday and Sunday, that's the 5th and 6th, and 12th and 13th, and from...
Yeah, tours are from noon to 4 each day. Also, the lodge in the park puts on a pancake breakfast from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's only $6 for adults and $5 for children.
That's always a good time.
Yeah, always good stuff. And
sounds like fun.
Love to see people there.
Well, thank you, Perry and Sean, for joining me this afternoon. Perry Gordon, Sean Connor with the Ohio Department of Natural Resources at Houston Woods.